ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for waiting. But we encountered the double trouble. One was my delays in New York City, where my schedule dragged on until much too late. And the other was a slow arrival because of headwinds. And so I apologize, but when you come up in this way, there's no control of the situation. My progress today will be from here, where we have a few appearances, to Binghamton. And then I'll be having to go back to New York City and coming upstate again tomorrow. I have to go back to New York tonight after the appearance in Binghamton. The purpose of my trip was to touch base in Utica, and especially as we've had in my staff and myself a good deal to do with good things that have happened here, including this very hotel and conference center, for which we were successful in getting an Economic Development Administration loan, which made it possible. And Utica needs, of course, employment and business. We have, in my office, devoted ourselves to it, bearing in mind that a very long-standing activity in which I've been engaged, going back for at least 15 years, with Congressman Al Perney and with his successor, has been the Griffiths Air Force Base at Rome, which has a very large employment and where we have fought many battles to keep it open. And we've been successful. And this is an ongoing effort because always there are threats, as there have been over the years, to dismember the base by taking one part or another away from it and locating it elsewhere. We have lost some because the employment of that base was almost twice as great as it is today, then up to about 15 or 16,000. But keeping what it has, about 8,000, is a very signal achievement in itself. And it is a constant care of mine, and it will be if returned to the Senate. I realize that it's a tremendous aid to the economy of this area, that the area suffered anyhow very seriously. And so I will continue as I have before, and we have, I think, a great record here to strengthen this base with Don Mitchell, as I have before with Al Perney, working in tandem with them. And of course I realize that the economy of the state, federal assistance we get in this matter, like the EDA, and of course for schools and for hospitals and for education in the in terms of higher education, all are absolutely critical. Housing is critical here. We have quite a few housing grants for the elderly and others. Also, we've gotten some money in a very, I think, interesting way in terms of the local development here for the UDAG grant for the Chicago Market Utica Shopping Plaza area, which provided 550 construction jobs and 500 permanent jobs. This took place in July of 79. And a whole list of housing assistance for public housing in the Utica Housing Authority in May of this year, and for housing for the low-income elderly, all amounting to a number of millions of dollars. Now, as to other matters, I have made a major campaign up here and elsewhere in the state on the ground that the state has given me the clout, the power, the seniority, which only comes from being in the Senate for a long time. The state has kept me in the Senate for 24 years, longer than any senator in the history of the state. This is a state asset. President Ford, who came in here to endorse me long after the Republican primary, notwithstanding that I'm not running on the Republican ticket this time, said I was a national treasure. And indeed, I want to be, and to my state as well. And so I felt that in a time of peril like this one, that the state should not give up the asset which it has in me. And therefore, I submitted that question to the people who will decide it come next Tuesday. And that's the way I want it. And I hope very much that all the people understand that whatever percentage of the vote they give me, whether that's shown in the polls or less, and hopefully enough to enable me to win. But if I do not win, then I'm not mad at anybody, that I have no resentment about the thing, that I have offered myself as a great asset for them. If they accept it, I'll be delighted, and so will my family. If they do not, I will understand perfectly and accept, of course, their judgment in this matter. So I just would like everybody to know that as I make what will probably be my final visit here in this campaign, that I just feel that this is a matter of essentiality to my own record and to the capabilities which the state has given me. We're in a very perilous situation in respect of peace and war. I'm the ranking member of the Foreign Relations Committee, and I'm the author of the War Powers Resolution. I spent a part of yesterday with Governor Reagan, and the closest that he's been to New York City in this current swing of his, which was over at Newark, New Jersey, and spent an hour riding up with him from Newark to a town called Lodi. And we talked over the War Powers Resolution, which for the first time in over 200 years of our history prevents a president from putting us into war by presidential action, that is, by deploying the troops of the United States into an area of hostilities. And that's how the Vietnam War and about 100 other wars took place involving the United States. And I urge the governor to utilize that statute in this way because he, as you know, has been bedeviled with concern about whether he's trigger happy. And here is a law on the books passed over Nixon's veto in which I urged him to indicate his approval and his good faith determination to comply with it as President Ford complied with it and as President Carter has complied with it as a great restraint upon war and a great way of being sure that war represents truly a national decision and not a circumstance created by a president. But that the Congress, as it must in a declaration of war, actually concurs. It's a great force for peace, and it's of inestimable value and service to our people. And also, as I think so many of you have heard me before on this subject, we are coming into an age of a singular opportunity for government to work with business, which alone can really break the back of inflation. It's through greater productivity and greater competitiveness, which it urgently needs, and which we must spark with a federal tax cut, which I am for, and which will come to around $30 billion, 50% for business modernization, and 50% for the individual to deal with the Social Security tax increase and to deal with the fact that he's paying more dollars in higher income tax brackets, though his standard of living is not even what it was, or at best even or equal. Sparked by that, and an intelligent and cooperative relationship with American business, I believe we can really put this country on the way back and bring about a much better relationship between management and labor through the technique of labor management committees, which have been so successful in this state under my own instigation in Jamestown, Elmira, and Buffalo, where they're functioning now, and which I hope will pervade the state. Now, after all, I'm sure you've heard from my opponents, and I know that they've been here, just as I have. I find no real alternatives in either of my opponents. Ms. Holtzman, as I've said before, has had little experience in the House, and she's a bright young woman, but she certainly has no concept of the security of this country, and I said has been, and I repeat, dangerously naive in respect of voting against all authorizations for our defense. And in respect of Mr. D'Amato, he's completely inexperienced. His total experience is in municipal administration in a town on Long Island. And by the way, with all the prating which he does about economy and government, he is the supervisor of a county which pays the highest taxes of any county in the United States. You don't hear that from Mr. D'Amato, but that's the fact. And so you got to clean up at home before you can make extravagant promises about what you're going to do if sent to so complicated and important a place as the United States Senate. And in addition, he is a willing operative in a machine, a political machine in Nassau County, which is exactly like New York City's experience with Tammany Hall in respect of jobs, in respect of favors, and in respect of how it operates. And he's a willing, indeed an anxious cooperator. And I do not believe that that fits a man to be United States Senator. And that is why I have said, and I repeat, that I believe that he's unfit to be a United States Senator. My own opponents, and then I shall be through, describe what is needed by a United States Senator as being stature, experience, ability, and clout. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've got them all standing here and looking at you. The fact is that I've done it to the satisfaction of most every newspaper in this state, and they're not easy judges who have endorsed me. So why do we have to look anywhere else? And what are these two others to promise other than promises? Or that they'll try to do it as well as I have, and that'll take them, let's say, an equal time, at least another quarter of a century. And at a time when we need help from the federal government more than we've needed it ever in the history of this state. I hope very much, therefore, that, and one must appear in these matters with all of the handicaps and limitations of late airplanes and schedules and so on, but I'm doing my best to bring this message to the people of the state. And I hope very much that they will pay close attention and will realize what is best for their interests and what is best for the interests of the state. And perhaps in a word, that's the best way to put it. I'm admittedly one of the best senators this state has ever had. And all of these canards about my health and age are answered by me. I'm here, look at me, listen to me. Can I do it or can't I? I've never been dishonest with the people, and I'm not being dishonest with them now. I can do it, I want to do it, I have a zest for the job, I'm unbelievably well equipped for the job, and I hope therefore that the state will again let me go on with the job. Thank you all very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I will answer some questions from all of you who have been kind enough to come to hear me, but I've kept the press waiting a long time, and if you let me, I'd like to answer their questions first. Yes, I'm not dropping out of the race, and I'm not supporting Holtzman. So the answer is no on both counts, and the reasons I've just given.
If you should not win your bid for the election, what do you intend to do?
Well, I don't see much point to speculating on that until it happens, because I hope very much to win it. But I've thought that when I did retire, whenever that was, that I would take to lawyering and teaching, which have been interests of my life always.
Have you actually practiced prior to going to the Senate?
Oh, yes. I was a very successful trial lawyer in New York for many years before World War II. And after World War II, except when I was Attorney General, and until about 9 years ago when I saw the fact that we would be forbidden under our code of ethics from practicing law, I had organized and run a very large law firm. And one of my big strengths in the Senate is that the senators consider me a really top-flight lawyer. And it's very interesting, too, relating to what I've just been talking about, that vote after vote of Senate aides and my colleagues in the Senate put me at the top. In this case, it was second, but the last vote somebody took as the as an effective senator. And remember, I'm a Republican, not a member of the majority, but nonetheless put very high in terms of what I'm able to do and how to do it. Yes?
Other than the defense issues you just brought up, what differences, these basic differences, do you see in the Representative
Holtzman? The defense issue, which we've just named. I see also the fact that she constantly says she's going to stand up to the oil companies. Now, that's kind of a rubric. What does it mean? What it means is an attitude of cynicism respecting the business community. And in my judgment, that attitude, even though I'm very knowledgeable and very active in respect of the antitrust laws, and the bribery, commercial bribery, and many other things respecting business. But I think a general attitude that government can do it better is not the attitude which is going to encourage us to solve our problems of either big government or inflation or the productivity or lack of productivity and the lack of competitiveness in this country. And therefore, the fact that I have a grasp of the business system and that I have stature in respect of the business system can be a big asset to New York, and has been and will be if the people send me back. I also have a difference with her about nuclear energy. She absolutely rejects any idea of using the atom for power. I cannot reject that option. I will make it safe to the greatest extent humanly possible. But with the dire situation we're in, where we are so vulnerable to blackmail by the OPEC countries, we have to retain the nuclear option for power. There are many other things, and some of them are very hard to explain. For example, I don't know why, but Ms. Holtzman voted against the business tax cut and the general tax cut bill of 78. We believe because there was in it a business tax cut. But as a matter of fact, it also contained many desirable things, like the fact that you don't pay capital gains tax on a sale of your home if you're over 55 years of age, and so on. So these are areas, some of the areas, in which we differ. Now, if this press through, thank you. May I also thank very much some very well-known citizens of this area for arranging this meeting and receiving me here. First, I'd like to introduce a very old friend, Mayor Bill Valentine of Rome. Mayor. Thank you. And may I also introduce a very old friend and a colleague in arms who could be my witness on the Griffiths Air Force Base, a regent of the state of New York, Emlyn Griffin. And finally, my dear personal friends here in Utica who arranged this meeting and whom I've given a bad hearts waiting for me today, who are here, Joni and Dick Oppen. Now, if those of you on this side have some questions, I'll be happy to try to answer. Yes? Well, how very nice. I think you all know that the Community Action Programs handle the anti-poverty program of the United States. And I've been working with that. It comes out of one of my committees for many years. One thing I'd like to mention to you about that, which is indicative of what we try to do when we try to break the poverty syndrome, and that is that the most valuable program that we have against poverty is, of all things, the legal services program. And the reason is that poor people, beyond everything else, want dignity. And the fact that they, too, can have a lawyer is an enormous contribution to their effort to break out of what we call the poverty syndrome. Very interesting thing. And the directors of the community action agencies met in Washington about 2 months ago, a little less than that, as a matter of fact, early in October. I was very honored to be chosen, as it were, as their legislator of the year for the very same things that this young lady just commented. Yes? Pardon? Why don't I try to convince you? Well, What will I say to try to convince you? Well, I think that I can only tell you what convinced me. Aside from talking with them on a number of occasions, in order to settle my own feeling about whether he would be prudent as to war. And I'm satisfied as to that, or I would never have supported him. I do feel that it is not necessary to agree with all the propositions that he stands for, though he has, in my judgment, moderated considerably a number of the positions in the Republican platform, which are more starkly stated than what he has adopted. I found that all of these things had to yield to the fact that we were in very grave trouble at home and abroad, that whether this president, Carter, was half unlucky and half inept, or whether there was some other percentage mix, the fact is that I couldn't see us pulling out of it except by a change at the top. And I believe that that's the only way to shake things up. It's not going to be all peaches and cream, and there are going to be lots of things in which I will disagree with the president and in which he will disagree with me. I've served under many presidents since Harry Truman, and including Harry Truman. And any man of independence or woman of independence is bound to have those differences. But when looked at in the overall benefit of a real change that'll shake up the country, I have to opt for that. Yes, sir.
Any chance we'll ever see an energy tax credit or installation, private installation of the burning stoves up here? It's
well,
be, of course, a very popular alternative, and so far we've seen nothing.
I don't know whether wood-burning stoves, I don't know, I say, that doesn't mean it isn't so, are a feasible alternative worthy of the name conservation in the sense that it will really save the energy materials in which we're scarce. But if it does, I will make it my business to go after it. And I'll test it out, and if you'll be kind enough to give one of my people your name and address, he's right here, we'll let you know. But that would be the criterion of judgment for me. Yes.
Senator, my name is Jim Wood. I'm on the board of directors of New York State United Teachers. As others have expressed confidence in you, we too will share in that confidence. We firmly believe that there is no other area of your endeavors in your 24 years in the Senate truly bear the trademark of Jacob Javits in education. And whatever happens next week, while we certainly hope for your victory, you can be assured that the contributions that you've made to education and to assisting young people in this country to achieve better education will persevere for many years.
Oh, well, that's very gratifying. Well, I've been invited down the hall, I think it is, to meet with the certain of the educators with SUNY. Perhaps you're one of a group, and I'll go down and talk with them. Well, if there are no other... Yes?
One more, actually. I think we would be remiss if we didn't give you credit over the years for your kind and persistent support on behalf of family planning.
Well, thank you very much, and of course, all that's done here is earn me pickets whenever I arrive. They'll probably be outside, but that's a small price to pay. Thank you all very much, and I apologize for being late.
God bless him, we'll be praying for him.
We'll see.